I feel like we need something for the beginning of the show.
We said a bunch of... I said so many things.
I don't know. Like, before we started? I feel like we just counted it off and then started going.
I said that thing where I was like, oh! And everybody laughed. Hi, my name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
Hi, I'm Griffin McElroy, and my game is pretty special.
Hi, I'm Chris Plant, and my game's from Korea.
Hi, my name is Ross Rustick, and I know the best game of the week.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Besties, and this is The Besties Show.
That was the smoothest intro we have ever done. Rustick didn't sing. Chris Plant didn't say something just really dumb about his game. 10 out of 10 so far. Let's keep the streak alive.
Nothing says smoothness like stopping to appreciate your own smoothness.
Even that joke was really good.
It was appropriately timed. I think we're off to a really good podcast today. I hope nothing happens to upset it. Here on The Besties, we examine the games that were released that week, or maybe a little bit before that, and we pit them against each other in Mortal Kombat until one comes out supreme. And then we then pit that game against our current champion. Russ Rustick, what is our champion still?
Our current champion is Journey, because it allows people to communicate without using voice and work together, creating world peace.
Right, but what is the caveat here?
Oh, the caveat Journey is, this week? So Journey we picked about, what, a month and a half, 2 months ago?
100 years ago.
100 years ago, and I'm sure people have noticed, world peace has not arrived, and we're all pretty upset about it.
This week, Journey's out. Whatever game,
is this it? I think it has one more week.
This
is it. Okay, fine. And whether or not this game is a comparison to Journey whatsoever, Journey has had its time to bring about world peace. Now, admittedly, it still has about a half hour while we record this show. So maybe. Who knows? Let's get it together.
Definitely Google world peace before we make that decision.
We'll check in to make sure that it has not been attained. But for now, let's get into the pitches. Griffin, who's going first this week?
This is going to be great. I am thinking of a number between 1 and 4.
Just 4.
6.
Okay, between 1 and 4.
2.
Jesus Christ, you guys. Get it together.
I pick 1.
Justin picks 1. Plant has 3. Frustick?
1.
Can't also pick 1.
What's not picked yet?
2 and 4.
It's 2. 4 things. How do you not keep track of that?
There's a lot of numbers.
It's Justin, Frustick, Plant, me.
Okay.
See what I did there?
Yeah, I did.
You just picked your own order.
That was good.
I'm all about self-sufficiency this week. I want you guys to be able to teach a man to fish, and so on.
Go on.
When you teach a man to fish, scampi by noon.
Borrower, Erlander B.
Red sky at night, scampi by noon.
Poor Richard, out. We're going to take a break from Almanac Hits right now to talk about The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead is the newest adventure by Telltale. It is an episodic game, and I reviewed it this week. I was not looking forward to this game. I thought Back to the Future was just okay, and I thought Jurassic Park was so bad I couldn't finish the first episode, first like 20 minutes. I tried to play maybe 8 times. But Walking Dead is a really exciting adventure game, I think is the best sort of genre descriptor. But there's some of the traditional, you know, hunt and find, looking for items and how they interact with each other. But the real hook of this game is the branching narrative and how you are constantly being called on to make a decision that's going to completely alter the course of the story. Now, some of it is big, obvious decisions. A lot of the time it's you can only save one of two people. Who is it going to be? And that is, of course, thrilling in the moment. You're having to go off of gut instinct, basically, because it is a very quick decision. But that idea of like a branching narrative even trickles down to conversations, where in a lot of games, especially adventure games, conversations are just sort of rote. going through the motions to get as much exposition and exposition as you can. In this game, you have a secret. You're an escaped convict, basically, who is watching over a little girl that you found whose parents have gone missing. So how much you reveal about that to the people you encounter depends a lot on what you've told other people that you're with, and how much you trust this person to be able to keep your secret, that you should probably be in prison. So it turns every conversation into sort of this really daunting dance between, like, how much can I trust this person and how much do I need to keep to myself? And that intensity goes throughout the whole game. It's really thrilling.
So you're quick question.
Yeah.
In terms of branching narratives, like, are you, so you're deciding, like, okay, this guy dies and this guy lives?
I mean, it's it is to the point where, like, yes, there are instances where, without, like, I'm really hesitant to give anything away, but, like, there are instances where zombies attack, one guy is, you know, stuck up against a wall of zombies, and another person is being grabbed by zombies, and you literally choose in the moment, and it is not a, it is a incredibly quick decision. I mean, it's like 3 seconds.
I'm just curious, are these choices going to extend to the future episodes? Like, if X guy died in the first episode, it's like, is the other guy doing stuff in the other episodes?
Completely. To the point where, just to give you an example, I was in gas station, you know, convenience store, drugstore type thing.
No spoilers. Well, now I know there's a gas station.
Well, I got it wrong. It's a drugstore. So there, I was in a drugstore and I found some energy bars, and it gave me the option, as I was talking to people, to give them an energy bar, right? So I thought, well, that's nice. There are 4 people who need energy bars, and I have 4 energy bars, so I'll give everybody an energy bar. And then the little girl I'm looking out for, I gave her one, and then a few minutes later I'm talking to her, and she said, she says something instead of, I'm still really hungry, do you have any more of those? And I'm like, oh, shit. I just doled them out to everybody. And then when I finish the episode and I'm watching the trailer for the next episode, there's a plot point where this girl tells me that she's starving and everyone is dying for food, and it's just because I gave energy bars to everybody. And that's like one little thing in it that it deals with. So, like, yes, the repercussions, I mean, even in the episode itself, you know, self-contained to this first one, people I didn't let die would continue to be members of my party. And what's cool is you can actually, in the default UI, you are getting feedback on when one of these, like, little forks comes. So you can, if you say something and somebody catches you in a lie, you know, it'll say, oh, Herschel won't forget that. And it'll say that on text. You're like, ah, damn it. Now he's going to know I'm a liar and everything. But you can turn that off if you'd rather the story just kind of sort of play out as is.
Denise is going to ask for more energy bars, it will tell you.
Denise loves energy bars.
So she's basically crazy. What Justin is saying is, it's not just anecdotal. You got to get on GameFAQs before you kick this baby off. And you got to look at the energy bar fact and just, like, read it over so you know how to distribute them.
Don't even play the game. Just read the fact.
Just
then
read
you'll
the fact.
You'll know everything.
I know you're joking, but it actually raises a good point in that The Walking Dead by nature, just like sort of the setting of, like, a zombie apocalypse, is so sort of desperate and dismal that it doesn't really dwell on the idea of making the right decision in any scenario. I mean, like, everything's still pretty much going to suck.
Everything's bad all the time,
which is cool because it kind of liberates you from the idea of having to make the right choice. You can just sort of let the narrative play out. Like, you can let the story be what it is, because it's not like you're going to find a key that's going to kill all the zombies. Like, that's not going to happen. So,
is there an energy bar achievement, though?
That's you hoarded all the energy bars for yourself.
Yeah. Second episode comes around. Everybody's dead except for me. But boy, God, do I have a lot of energy.
Yeah, your carbs are right. Your protein's right. You're feeling good. No ketosis for you. You're feeling awesome.
My moral compass would totally be determined by how many achievement points each decision. That's honestly how I would decide.
Luckily, I played on PC, so that it wasn't. Right. But anyway, that's Walking Dead. It's super interesting and probably the best thing Telltale's ever done, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah. Seems likely.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the things that they're doing are really interesting, and I have not seen any other games attempt them. So,
Fresh Rustic.
I'm up.
Hit it.
You know it.
Let's do it. Okay, I'm bringing a game called Spell Sword to this week's podcast. It's an iOS game. I'd seen the trailer of it, and the trailer sort of made me think it was a Super Crate Box ripoff. It's not. There's a lot more going on. I wouldn't necessarily say that it's better than Super Crate Box. They just sort of take the concept in a different angle. The way it's done is, you know, you're a guy with a sword, pixel-style graphics, and it's arena style, like one screen, and cards are appearing as like tons of enemies are floating on the screen, and each card gives you a different ability for a very short amount of time, so like 5 seconds. So the idea is you like grab the fire card, use the fire sword to kill a bunch of people as you're running to the next card, and you sort of leapfrog from card to card using those tactics. I realize that it still sounds a lot like Super Crate Box. They added a bunch of elements like a currency system where you can buy upgrades. You could buy hats, in-game hats, which everyone seems to love. There's also a whole campaign, which Super Crate Box never had, where with like different challenges, like you need to get 20 cards within 30 seconds, or you need to kill like 50 blobby enemies before something happens. So there's like you know, Super Crate Box really just had that one mode and you just like play it forever. It seems like there's a little more variety here. And I really, the great soundtrack, like cool pixel-y 8-bit soundtrack and good art. Controls are like not pitch perfect, but pretty close. And yeah, I really, really dug it. It's only $1 and it's a universal app. And did it's got Game Center achievements, which I love.
Did you say the sound has pixels?
No, I meant 8-bit. You know what I'm talking about. 8-bit.
If this thing can make sound tangible and physical.
Well, I don't think pixels are physical to begin with.
We'll never get the answer now.
It's done.
No, that sounds good. The only thing I'd be worried about is the touch controls, because even Super Crate Box on iPhone will screw up that every once in a while.
Yeah, I played on iPad, which gave me a bunch more like screen real estate to mess around with. Yeah. I haven't played it on iPhone yet, but
you need some knuckle room.
But I wasn't like it wasn't screwing me over very often. And also, unlike Super Crate Box, there's room for error here. You can have like hearts and you can like collect like health potions. So one hit isn't gonna kill you.
How do cards fit into the fiction?
Into the fiction?
Yeah, like why are there cards in this place?
I don't know, they're like magic cards.
Like Magic the Gathering cards?
Yeah, it's a cross-branding with Magic the Gathering. They just don't say it, mm-hmm. but it's...
But you know.
I know. I know on the inside that I should be double-tapping this wood swamp. I've never played Magic the Gathering.
That's it. You pretty much double-tap swamps over and over again.
Over and over again. You know, it's funny. We give Russ the hardest time on this show, and I think we can all pretty much agree that he is the worst at pitching games.
Yeah I'd agree with that.
Whatever. I'm glad we're all in consensus. But the truth is that whenever Russ recommends a mobile game, I'm literally like, it is all I can do to keep from picking my phone up that exact minute and downloading it, because he's always right.
My game this week is actually a mobile game that Russ suggested to me.
I will literally, but you would do well to always get the mobile games that Russ says, because he's always right about them.
I am a seer of mobile games.
You're a kingmaker.
Well, you played them too, I hope.
This sounds good. I like... It's got progression, you say?
Yep, progression, hats.
That's my jam. I like
you could
that.
Like make each of the cards more powerful if you spend money on them. So you can make like the fireball card when you pick it up. Instead of shooting out like 5 fireballs, it shoots out like 30 and just demolishes the screen.
Is that over time though, or is that like game to game?
No, it's permanent. So like if you spend the money, it'll always every game after that will have that upgrade.
So definitely more self-contained than Super Crate, or less self-contained than Super Crate.
Right.
Box.
Yeah,
can you tell me, what are some of the best hats?
There's a wizard hat, which is pretty cool. There's a Spartan hat.
Ooh.
And, yeah, there's a few others. So all the items, in addition to, like, looking like hats, also have passive upgrades. Like, some will give you more health, or some will increase the ice card by 5 points, or stuff like that.
Like hats in real life.
Some will look great in the spring season.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're a winter, I wouldn't recommend the wizard hat. It will not go with your complexion.
Yeah. Now winter is becoming.
Wow.
Thank you, Justin.
Jesus.
Wow.
Topical as ever.
In that hat. Topical humor. Hey, we're obviously exhausted. Let's take a break from the regular show.
Guys, do you mind? Sorry, I need to grab a drink. So I'm going to step out for real quick.
Sure. Go bev out.
This week we have such a treat for you. We'll welcome into the studio. Here, he's coming in right now. Mr. Jean-Baptiste, independent game designer.
Oh, my God.
I know. Griffin's been looking forward to this for so long. He's such a big fan of Mr. Baptiste's work.
I love his stuff. I love Tower Time, City Town,
all brilliant games. No one purchases typically or buys his games. That's by design. He rarely offers them for sale. He thinks it corrupts the art. But he's going to tell us about his newest game this week. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the studio, Mr. Jean-Baptiste.
Yes. Thank you. Hello. Hello, Griffin. Thank you for your support of my work.
Thank you. Thank you for your art.
Well, it is not what I would call art as much as soul, because my soul is dark, but I bring light into games.
You've brought so much light.
So I wanted to come. Thank you, besties.
Oh, thank you for it. The honor is all ours.
I've wanted to come today to talk about something new that I have been working on.
So besties exclusive, right?
I'm writing a news post right now.
No one has heard about this game before, except so I told my niece, but she will not tell. Okay.
Okay.
So
whenever you're ready.
I'm going to tell you how I came to this game. I was in, where was I? Oh yes, I was upstate in Iowa. I have family in Iowa, and I visited them in their farm.
What town is this?
I do not know.
The town is actually called Upstate.
Oh, no, Upstate Iowa.
There was a corn there.
Okay, so just one.
So I'm in the farm, and I look at the fields, and I am thinking, maybe this is a game. And then I realize, yes.
Okay. So you were looking at the corn, and you realize that this is a game.
Yes, but the corn specifically.
Okay.
What if there was a game where you could run around planting corn? That is it.
Okay. So wait, you would plant corn?
Yes, but also, no, just corn.
Okay.
Okay. So do you
cultivate it, or is it just the act of putting the seed in the ground and like the promise of tomorrow? Is that sort of thesis?
Okay. This is a spoiler. I do not know if I should share this with you guys.
Please. Listen, I can take it out in post.
No one listens to this show.
Yeah. Okay. So you plant the corn, and then once the corn is planted, it does not grow.
Oh, man.
So you must journey out of your farm with a pickaxe and mine for other things.
Okay. So, okay.
But
There's a few...
There also is a sheep that you can mine and a zombie.
All right. So,
okay.
Here's the thing.
And a boat.
John, I just love your stuff to death, and you know that.
Yes.
This is not the first time where the core concepts, the conceits behind your game are taken directly from another game.
What are you talking about, Griffin? Griffin, you have always supported me. Why would you say this?
I will continue. I will continue to support you no matter what, because you take it and you put your own spin on it.
It's like how 50 Shades of Grey is basically like Twilight, but it's been rewritten
exactly
with some of the same brushstrokes, but more BDSM erotica.
So what you have done here, yuck, what you've done here is you've taken the Minecraft, but you corn. There's impotent corn in it.
Let me ask you a few questions about your game. Is that okay?
Yes. Questions.
Do you mine coal in the hills?
It is called Black Rocks.
Okay. But do you use that to start fires and smelt metals?
Ouchy yellow.
Okay, ouchy yellow.
What is that?
That's the fire. Oh, I'm assuming. Oh. So is there some sort of energy system? Are there redstones that you use to power?
No. That would come in alpha version 4.6.
Oh, so you're doing like a layered alpha release?
Yes.
Okay, great. Hey, tell me, John, can you just tell me just real quick, are you wearing any kind of hat right now?
Yes. I think he's called a pork hat. It's a pork hat.
It's not a fedora, a pork hat.
Pork hat. My English.
So you're saying right now you're sporting the chapeau most made famous by Jughead on the Archies. That's what you're wearing right now.
I do not know Jughead.
Are you talking about a pork pie hat?
Maybe. No. Yes.
So that's what's different from your game and Notch's Minecraft is that Notch wears a fedora and you wear a pork pie. Is that the main difference between these two games?
But also the title.
What is your title?
What is your title?
My game is called Minecraft because I made it.
Okay, thank you, John Baptiste. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you. We really appreciate your time.
If you're in Germany,
okay,
it is called Minecraft.
Okay, you're out. Thank you so much for joining us. What an honor! Thank you to have you in studio. Oh, Thank you for the years. Just send Russ back in, please, if you see him out there in the hallway. Thanks so much.
Hey guys.
Hey Russ. Hey,
How'd the interview go?
Oh God, you missed it.
I saw him in the hallway.
Yeah, we filled this room with artistic expression.
Can you? What type of hat was he wearing, Russ?
It looked like a what is the hat the Jughead wears?
Griffin, who's pitching their game now?
It is now Chris Plant's turn.
Okay. I have a game called Teleporter. Oh, actually, wait. The full title is AZT Teleporter HD. It's an iOS game from HiMind, a Korean developer. And in this game, you play as a teleporter and also the power of necromancy. And you combine those powers going around an environment and killing all of humankind. And that's pretty much the entire game.
Sounds a little grim there, Chris Plant.
It's kind of dark. Really cute. Like, your characters are these little pixel guys. And then you teleport behind innocent people. They don't have weapons. And then you murder them. And then from the pile of blood that remains, you raise these, like, machine humanoids. And then they go out and they kill everyone else.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I'm just bummed listening to
it. I know. It sounds like...
See, I knew that you guys are going to be a little bummed out by this. So what I did is I went to the Teleporter download page on itunes.apple.com, and I found a poem that is actually written into their product description. It is called Checkmark Crash Problem. AZT is designed to be played at iPhone 4 or better devices. If you are having some kind of crash problem, first free all your other applications. Then turn off your device once. If you still face crash, write down your device. Send it to our Twitter, please.
Wow, that's an E.E. Cummings.
Was that in iambic pentameter?
Yeah, I believe that is
iambic. I think it's trochaic.
It trochaic?
Yeah.
And what is the name of this game again, in case people want to avoid it?
AZT.
Okay.
: Teleporter HD.
What does AZT mean?
Yeah, that's...
I knew you would ask that question. And the answer...
It is most famously, it is the shortened version of acetothamide, which is, of course, an HIV medication frequently referenced in Rent, the musical. So
AZT break.
AZT you, break.
Me. Me, me. That's...
I thought it was the Arizona Tucson.
No, incorrect.
Chris Bryant, you were on a plane for 6 hours this week.
Yeah,
this
So I wanted to bring this game called Zagus 33 or Zaga 33. It's like a net hack, and it's really good, except you can't go to the top right of the screen. So if you get a randomized dungeon with a door at the top right, you can't leave. So then I was like, I need to find another game. It's been a really bad iOS week for me.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds like it. And I just, thanks for just bringing all that in here. There's a game also by developer High Mind called A Kiss When Boss Is Not Watching. And the title screen is a man and woman, and they're kissing. And there's hearts. And it says bonus kiss on the screen. And there's a very troubled-looking older man in the back, and he's looking at you, Kiss. He looks very upset.
And he has one hair that is pointing crooked and erect.
And it just says, kiss her while boss is not watching. Now, this game, it is rated 17+. There is some sort of mechanic where a lady is in a bikini, and you have to rub her hair to please her. And then you can shake the device to see her bust animation, but you have to be at heart level 6.
Chris, I hate to be strict with you because I don't have any power unless the other two guys agree, but I'm pretty sure I have to sentence you to
jail.
Bringing this game for next week's besties. I think next week you have to pitch us on Sneak a Kiss while you're
watching. I can only bring High Mind games.
Yeah. Next week, another selection of High Mind games. I would prefer... Sneaky Kiss when the... What is the name again, Griffin?
A Kiss When Boss Is Not Watching. Let's not count it out before that bad boy goes live, because it does have a unique poker slot machine with kiss system and mission system.
Oh, okay. Nice. That
sounds like Jetpack Joyride.
Customize your girl 3 faces, 14 hairstyles, 28 clothes, 22 accessories, really hot costumes available.
That doesn't sound good. Who's last up?
Griffin McElroy. It's me, but like... This is the week where we have to dethrone Journey.
Right.
There's a 1 in 4 chance that it's going to be A Kiss When Boss Is Not Watch or
AZT, Teleporter
AIDS Medicine
HD.
Teleportation.
It could be AIDS Medicine Zombie Attack.
But I think we all know it won't be. We don't do this randomly here. There's a lot of expert analysis. Griffin.
My game this week is also an iOS game. Is that okay?
Sure.
It's been
still
slow.
America.
My game this week is called Polymer. It was made by one Whitaker Trebella, which is a fun name. It is sort of similar to the old puzzle game Pipe Dreams, if anybody remembers that.
I do.
Only instead of sort of taking these pieces of pipe, you have a grid of blocks that fall down when you clear them, and each block has a piece of... basically like a tube on it. And so there's corner pieces that turn in different directions. There's end pieces. There's straight pieces. There's square pieces that you can connect. And you try to, you slide these around sort of like you slide a Rubik's Cube. You can move a column or a row to put these pieces together into pleasing multicolored shapes that you then clear by touching a complete shape. And the shape has to have all of its ends joined, so there can't be any sort of like in Pipe Dreams, you couldn't have just like a loose pipe that went to nowhere. And it's a really neat puzzle game. The sliding mechanic adds a whole lot to it, and it's got really, really great production values. Let me play some of the... Just listen to the music and just like... I'm just going to play this gently under... Just playing it, it's just... Sometimes you need to be soothed by your games. and not many. I don't think that.
Oops.
Oh no. No, it is really good, and it's got a bunch of unlocks, like so many unlocks that you get for getting high scores and earning. You can unlock new blocks and new color schemes. It's a very visually appealing game, and it's only $1.
Well, that sounds pretty neat. It's hard. I think it's so hard to pitch puzzle games like that in this format without, like, you know, seeing it, because it's so hard to sort of comprehend just from spoken word. But I would take your word for
another
it.
Another fun thing is that whenever you make, like, a really long shape, there's one mode where you have infinite time. You just have to try to make the longest shape that you possibly can. And when you do it, you can tweet your shape.
Oh, that's fun.
Hey, everybody, hey, look at this shape that I made.
Wait, one second, Griffin. You know what I just want to say?
Yeah.
Is that you thought this game was going to be kind of boring.
I knew you were going to bring that out against me, you bastard.
Griffin, it turns out, judges games simply based on their trailers and thought this game was going to be kind of boring. Do you have to say about that, Griffin?
I think that there are people who are listening to this podcast and listen to that thing, all that bullshit I just said, and they probably thought this is going to be kind of boring. So I think my tale of redemption is
inspiration.
It's inspirational. It's like Remember the Titans.
Basically.
It's basically, my story is basically tantamount to Remember the Titans.
So guys, what's the best game this week?
Probably Walking Dead.
Yeah, probably Walking Dead.
Walking Dead?
Yeah, I wouldn't argue. Yeah.
Okay, well.
We gotta put up some fight. Don't people kind of expect it?
I guess, but like, what? What?
Okay, so I.
Chris's game is bad.
Right, yeah. Chris's game is out.
Wow.
Chris is surprised at our directness, yet not arguing the veracity of our claims.
So I think it's clear that Walking Dead would definitely be in competition. I think it's really like whether Polymer or Spellsword goes up against Walking Dead.
Can I make one argument for Polymer?
Yes.
Wow.
No.
Okay, Polymer versus Walking Dead.
Can you, Justin, is there any way that you can like load up the Walking Dead soundtrack and we can... It would just be like, get the hammer!
Headshot.
I'm so high, please, Papa. Can I please have an energy bar?
Okay. Congratulations to Walking Dead, our game of the week, and by default.
Well, wait.
Can you
guys? I just Googled world peace.
Oh God.
And no, just here is the first result. Lakers world peace says he didn't expect 7-game suspension. Seven days. Suspension.
I believe that's in reference to premium basketballer Meta World Peace.
Do we have a consensus? Can we agree?
Can you at least put a little bit of effort into it? I feel lousy. Just like, this honor has to mean something. We can't just throw it at Walking Dead like a wet pile of laundry.
It does mean something, because Walking Dead is a revolutionary, incredibly intense.
Are you reading the back of the box?
No, I'm telling you, it's unprecedented. The way that the narrative branches here.
Would you describe it as visceral?
I would not. That I think that a lot of the war, that the energy of that word has been depleted.
What about viscous?
No, absolutely not. I'm sure all the games sound neat, but I'm sure they're all very enjoyable. But this is a game that really changed things. I mean, it really presented a narrative in a way that I've never seen it presented in a video game before. And it's hugely exciting.
That's great. That's seriously, you're doing a great job. But the last time we gave this honor out to a game, it was because it could change the world forever. The entire world, not just the people who play adventure games. So,
right, but this time it's because that game didn't do it.
Sure, but you gotta... Can I
throw out a possible rule adjustment to the besties?
Okay, what's that?
This is what I'm thinking. Maybe we could have, like, throughout the month, like, each month gets, like, the game of the year pick for that month, and then at the end of the year, we could battle all the months together.
Okay. Well, this is definitely the kind of conversation we should have as we're recording. It's thrilling. It's thrilling to watch rules emerge.
All right. Game of the day, And then at the end of the week, we have the 7, right? And then we take the 4 weeks at the end of the month, and then 12 months at the end of the year.
But every other Tuesday has its own game as well.
We do a decade off. This idea is
leap
miserable.
Year, we have more games.
Let's count at this in the same way we became a journey. Is The Walking Dead, if the zombie outbreaks happens, more than one, if it happens,
it's going to prepare you.
Is it
going to
instill you with the kind of fast decision making skills and survival instincts that you will need when, say, like your wife and your son are both about to get zombied? You can only save one. Which one do you go with?
It's going to prepare you for that sort of split second decision making, and it's going to harden your heart to those repercussions. That's the important
thing. So, like in this situation, you know that with the wife, you can make more sons, but the son will eat less energy bars than the wife will.
So you can keep more of your energy.
You got to have an energy bar per son like ratio in the back of your mind at all times.
And the only way you're going to learn to do that is if you are fully engrossed in the world of The Walking Dead interactive video game.
So to extrapolate what you guys are saying, this will allow humanity to survive beyond the zombie apocalypse thanks to Walking Dead.
Exactly.
That doesn't sound like the game you pitched.
I pitched the first episode. Most of the lessons come later.
But it sounds like what you pitched is a sociopath making machine. The way you described it was, here is a game that is going to tell you that it's going to suck no matter what, so you can make horrible decisions involving your wife and children, and you can just kind of go with it, because they're going to die anyway.
When the shit hits the proverbial fan, I'm clinging to the sociopaths, and I need to understand how their mind works, or else my family is not going to make it.
So you will say it is a sociopath-making machine.
We all need to be sociopaths to do some things we're not proud of if we're going to survive this thing.
When the aliens land 300 years after the zombie apocalypse hits and there's humans still walking around, they would be like, how are there humans walking around? I thought zombies came here. And the humans are going to be like, nope, played Walking Dead.
Walking Dead, check it. Another scenario, you commit a petty crime and you go to jail. And you get out of jail and you're at a party with a bunch of people that you don't really know very well. And you're introducing yourself to them and talking to them, and you have to figure out how to lie about the fact that you were in jail.
Right.
The Walking Dead will instruct you on how to do all of these things.
All those things. So congratulations to our brand new game of the year, Walking Dead.
I'm still not sold on it, but Journey came out in 1996. Like, we got to move forward.
We got to move on with our lives. Maybe when there's like a reissue of Journey, when they put it on a disc finally, like a big boy game, we can talk about it again. But right now, I'm going to hand that honor over to Walking Dead. Thank you guys so much for listening to our show. You can follow us at Polygon on Twitter. We now have a Tumblr at polygon.com.tumblr.com, which is a lot of fun to say. You can also read all of our stories. We're at theverge.com/gaming as we build our brand new web empire. Thank you so much for listening to our show. Make sure to join us again on Friday for the besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?